Okay, Stephanie, it's recording now.
Okay, great. Thank you, Maria. And thank you, everybody, for showing up today for the concept workshop. It will be running from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And let's go ahead and open up with a serenity prayer, and then I'll go into some logistics real quick. All right.
God
grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom of the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. All right. Let me go ahead and do a mass mute. Okay, well, thank you again, everybody. My name is Stephanie. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater and your workshop leader for this afternoon. All right, and we're going to have four people that will be going over the concepts today, and they're broken down for the first two speakers with the first three and then the second three, and then the last two speakers will be speaking on the last two. We will also have a 5-minute intro time in between speakers, and then we'll have about 20 minutes at the end of the concept workshop. If you guys want to share or if you have any questions for any of the speakers, you're more than welcome to. They will also be leaving their name, their number, and doing a little bit of qualification at the beginning of their speech. So thank you so much to all the speakers. I have Michael as our first one, Judas as our second one, Robin as our third one, and Carlisa as our fourth one. And I would like to go ahead and introduce Michael, and we'll get him started. And go ahead, Michael. Go ahead and do your qualification. Thank you.
Hi, this is Michael, definitely a compulsive overeater, and actually very, very privileged and grateful that I was asked to speak. And one of the reasons why I believe or why I feel so privileged is that my recovery has taken a turn, a very positive turn, something very, very, for me, monumental, and something very inward, very spiritual, and it's quite a different road than my prior recovery. And I'll start off just by saying that I've been in 12-step for 37 years. I started with Gracie, and then my sponsor got me into what I call the Father Program, and she came into it after me, and she left Gracie, but I didn't. And as time went on, I've been in Gracie, Westminster, Howe, OA Plus, OA, I've been all of them. And CEA Howe, for me, even though I fought it tooth and nail, has been the best place for me to be. And, you know, the first concept is the Compulsive Eaters Anonymous Howe concept has been formed to offer compulsive eaters who accept 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. The CEA Howe groups have been formed in the belief that our disease is absolute, and therefore only absolute acceptance of the CEA Howe concept will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, the CEA Howe plan of eating, steps, traditions, and tools of recovery are not suggested. Rather, we accept them as requirements for our recovery. Of course, when I first read that last part, I was like, what do you mean I have to accept it? Because I was very, very defiant, no matter how many years I've been in the program and working the program. And really being honored to speak today, first time in many, many years, I wrote a little bit about what I wanted to say, because I don't know if I can express verbally or from my spirit exactly or even close to how I really feel. And what I've learned in looking at this and taking it apart, I really asked myself a lot of questions. And I asked, you know, the 12 steps, 12 traditions, you know, what does that really mean to me? There are a lot of people that are thin and don't have 12 steps and 12 traditions. So what is it all about for me? Why is it so important that I look at and use and absorb this in my life. And then I thought about all the millions of people in this world that are thin and don't have a problem, but they're certifiably nuts. Some smoke a lot to be thin, some drink a lot of coffee to be thin, some exercise to be thin, some don't eat to be thin, some are anorexic. I look at, and some are normal, actually, probably more normal than not. And I ask myself, well, where do I really fit in with all that? And how am I going to apply this concept into my life? And how have I applied it in all these years? And, you know, part of what I came up with is having a program for me and having tools and having steps and having traditions. It's really, for me, it's been a direction for life, for love, for peace. And I really have to go back to who I really was as a child. I believe that my parents were immigrants, and I believe they did the best they could. It doesn't mean they did everything they could, but they were thrilled just having kids that graduated high school. That was huge for immigrants. But I wondered, had things been different? I went to parochial school, and I was very, very abused. And being abused, of course, changes your direction in life. And my direction and my road in life became very fearful, very mistrusting, isolated at times. Sometimes I was an extrovert. Sometimes I was an introvert. I didn't trust anybody because I was sexually, emotionally, and spiritually abused. So how do you trust somebody who's supposed to help you when what they really were doing was hurting you? So I imagined, or I think, I just, as a child, shut down and didn't trust anybody, really, except for my mom. And my dad was a dry alcoholic who I trusted. You know, he was dry and he was emotionally unavailable, but he was there. I always knew he was going to come home after work. And when he died, I was only a teenager, and my life became a little bit difficult. And then I look again, when I look at the steps, for me, it's a map of my life. It's a map to have a life. It's a way of learning. And coming into program in my 20s, some people really thought I was crazier than I really was. But I found something in a 12-step program, something that was missing. It was like that missing link. I was a person that had no discipline. If I didn't feel like going to school, and I'm talking about grammar school, which was difficult because I was abused. I really didn't want to go. And I didn't go because I was sick when I was a kid. I had a rheumatic fever, a rheumatic heart, and ruptured appendix. So if ever I wanted to stay home, I had an ache or a pain. Now I'm sorry because I think I'm having them now because I faked them when I was young. But when I look at really what I was like before finding steps and before finding traditions, and I'm still working on the steps and traditions, it's going to be an ongoing part of my life. I went to work when I wanted to go to work. I was up to 200 pounds at one point, and maybe a month later I'd be 160 pounds or 150 pounds. My weight just went up and down, up and down, up and down. But most of my life, whether it was through younger years being on horrible diet pills that we know now are so dangerous, I always had a way, whether I didn't eat or whether I just drank and had no food or whatever, I always found a way to be slim part of the year, which of course is very, very unhealthy. But the ramifications of being brought up without discipline or being brought up being having been abused, and you know, my mother was very loving towards me. She had me in her 40s. And at a certain age, there was no more hugging and no more, no, you're too old for that. You can't sit on my knee. I can't hug you. And that's the way years ago, I guess in the 50s and 60s, before the hippie days, people really thought that's how you live life. Then I take a look at the steps. And the first time I came into Graysheet, I said, these people are crazier than I've ever been. And they're cults, and they're holding hands, and this is not religion, and they're praying, and they're just freaking nuts. Except for those nuts within, they were happy, they were laughing, they were smiling. And I was so insecure. And it's a paradox for me because people thought I was stuck up. And I really felt I was too short, I was too fat, I wasn't good looking enough, I wasn't manly enough. There was nothing really right. And I definitely was not smart enough because I'm dyslexic. But we didn't know that, or I didn't know that until I was an adult. And I couldn't read at one time. And so today I can stumble a little bit of reading, but I read very well. And I probably read a book or 2 books a month, sometimes more. I read every mag. I would never admit this before, but I've written everything Oprah has ever written. And not only what she's written, but her magazine for me is just recovering itself. The big book is my Bible. Bill Wilson is one of my heroes. And I've had the pleasure to meet some of his friends. And I actually, one of my best friends just sent me a real picture of him in Lois, which is hanging on my wall because it just means so much where my life is. And, you know, I look at this and I look at what 12-step has given me and what the steps in itself and why it's so important for me to have not only the steps and the traditions and the structure, because structure really gave me a concept of just living one day at a time. It gave me a concept of schedules. I used to laugh. My cousin was rather prominent in the world, and his side of the family were, in fact, one of our cousins was a senator. And I would laugh when they would talk about schedules. And, of course, today I have a schedule. I even have a book. I think this is such a piss because I can't believe that I actually have to schedule the appointments of what I'm going to do with my life. And then to learn that I could go to a group and start to trust people, and I could learn to eat properly, and I could go to school, and I could go to college. Me, who thought I was so stupid, I was a 60 average until I was told in grammar school I wasn't going to graduate, and the idea of staying there one more year to be abused, I went from a 60 minus to an 85, and they actually had a sort of a procession moving me from the stupid row to the smart row, which really was horrible for my friends who were left in the dumb row. They called it the dumb row, actually. So when I look at this, and this is a very different way for me to speak, and it's something that I'm really finding very, very important just for me. And I wanted it for everybody else, and I forced it down their throat, but it doesn't work that way. I can only take care of me and fix me and hope that that part of me can reflect somebody else. So what I learned to do and by looking at the steps and admitting that, meaning if I'm 200 pounds and I'm short, that's, you know, my normal weight should be 144. So 200 pounds, and I could have gone to 3 or 4. My mother hit 280 at one time. My sister hit the same. So I know what could have happened. And I was lucky enough. They say in AA for one person in there, there's 33 out there who needs to be. And I believe the same thing for our food programs, and I believe all the food programs work for certain people, but for me, I have to have structure. I have to know what I'm doing. I have to be given an example, being trained. I worked for the military for a lot of years, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me, one of the best things, because it gave me such structure as well as being involved in 12-step. And the structure taught me how to dream. It taught me that I could go back to school, that I was somebody, that I wasn't stupid. It taught me to take risks. I always wanted to be safe. It taught me to start to trust because being abused or made fun of or whatever. And of course, if I went on a bus and somebody was laughing, I'm sure they were laughing at me. And I didn't know how to love. I was so full of love inside. But I didn't like anyone touching me. And I'm thinking, I'm really weird. But, of course, now in retrospect, I realize, why would I want someone touching me if I was sexually abused? So even though, or although the abuse was at a very young age, that followed my psyche, my direction, my life. And it was very, very hard for me to be intimate unless I was drinking or drugging, which comes into why my sponsor put me into AA. What I find really, really important is I was a clinician for 30 years. I'm grateful that I retired very young. And a sponsor is not a clinician. So when I'm working with somebody, I put my clinician hat on the table. And I don't even tell most people that that's what I've done for 30 years. Because my understanding is a sponsor teaches me what the program is about, not what they're about. Not their beliefs or anything, just what the program is about. And Bill Wilson, I believe if most people realize what he went through, he became so famous that he couldn't even go to his own meetings because he was on such a pedestal by other people that would not allow him to be human. And this I heard in his own voice in the documentary that I saw recently, which is absolutely fascinating. So for me, I'm starting to learn that, yeah, I want to be slim. I like being a normal size. I like looking younger because thin people who take care of their bodies and food and exercise do look young. But it's just not about that, because if all I have is food, I don't have a program. I have a diet. And I've been around 37 years. I've seen people leave their 90-day wonder, year wonder, two-year wonder, five-year wonder. Life happens. And when your mother dies, your father dies, your dog dies, your best friend dies. I have two best friends. No, I have a niece and a best friend dying of cancer. Hopefully they won't, but it doesn't look great. I don't want to be sort of sad and gloomy around them. Program has taught me not to be self-centered. Now, I would never even think that would be self-centered, because years ago, it would be all about me, my niece, my friend who's so wonderful is dying or might be dying. Now it's about what can I do to make their life happier? And I'm a clown, and that clown in me is coming out more and more. I text one of my friends every day, and I got this something in an antique in a sale that my friend and I had, and actually it's a file that was supposed to be used on some of the stars. So now I text her every day. One day I tell her, I keep saying Baba Lou, so it was Lucille Ball actually was went to this manicurist and all these people. So I text her all these stupid things that if a normal person read them, they would say this guy is out of his mind, which I possibly am, but it makes my friend laugh. And I believe if the medicine doesn't kill her with this cancer, this is a third cancer, and some of the medicine actually, that maybe laughter, not even maybe, I believe laughter creates such wonderful enzymes and hormones and so many things, so many chemicals, the same chemicals that I can't remember right now, but the same chemicals that we get from taking antidepressants. And it's just so amazing what the body and the mind can do and how it can do if I take care of myself. And all the books I've read between all these very famous writers, it's really all in the big book, and it's been there since 1939. They just use different words. It basically, I believe that my program, our program, was given by a higher power, because how could Bill Wilson have known in 1939 some of the things he touches on, even touches on being gay, which I think is absolutely fascinating, in 1939 that he would talk, even make reference to it, was so, so far ahead of his time, and it had to come. Of course, it came to him while he was in a mental institution, so they really thought he was crazy, but he really brought 5 million people to life, plus their families. So when I take a look at concept one, and I realize that I've tried every diet commercially, and they work, but I'm not, I can't do diets because I go off them. And on maintenance, I'm one very, very successful chain program. They told me I could have three or something, and that three or something meant family pack. So I gained 20 pounds on maintenance. I know that when OA changed it, food plans, I changed my food plan every day, and when they threw them out, I threw them out. So, of course, I gained my weight back. So I do need a structured approach. I need a CEA health concept will offer any sustained absence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. I have a friend who's deceased now, but she died at 607 pounds, and she was using crack. I can't even believe that she could be heavy using crack, but to be 607 pounds, so she died from obesity in her 40s and was in a nursing home. And when she started to get well, she just used more drugs and, of course, died. So she had many, many, thank you. She had so many reasons, and she was very well aware of AA and OA, and CEA Hal wasn't there then, but she was aware of all the programs that I went to. So when I look back, and I really believe that I was asked to do this, and I hope I'm doing it the way that it's acceptable, it's because my higher power really wanted me to see that I have 4 credentials today. I'm not stupid. I passed my credential in the first shot. 70% of people didn't. I learned how to read as an adult. I have an education. This program has given me the ability to love. And my partner died 23 years ago, and I shut down. I was frozen in my heart. And it didn't matter how many people I met, no matter how wonderful they were. There was no room in my heart. And 23 years later, or 20-some-odd years later, I did meet somebody who I'm still guarded, but my heart is no longer frozen. So whether it works or it doesn't work, it doesn't really matter anymore to me. What matters is that by working the steps and by working as much of, as I know, which is not a lot of the traditions, that my heart is not frozen, which means whatever happens, I'm open to life, I'm open to love, I'm open to change, I'm open to growing, I'm open to becoming, and I don't want to get stuck on the food. And just for me, and I really mean this is for me, if I'm sitting down and I'm gobbling my food, that's not okay for me. If my whole being is on what am I going to have for lunch and dinner, that's my OCD or that's my obsessive. I don't want food to be that important to me. And I have to say, through the program, it really isn't that important to me. What's much more important is the only way that I can maintain this lifestyle is through a spiritual and an emotional awakening. And Bill Wilson says that, and if I weren't so hard-headed, I would have learned a long time ago that the directions were all there. I just have to be willing to apply them. And I used to brag in a lecture that I was an adult child of an alcoholic, and you could throw me against a brick wall and I come back fighting. And one day while I was doing that lecture, I said in the lecture, oh, my God, why do I have to keep coming back fighting? Why do I have to be thrown against a brick wall? Why don't I try something or apply something before I get thrown against that brick wall? And that would be what the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and what our concept continues to give me, because it's an open book. And after 37 years of being in recovery and being up and being down, having 12 years and having relapses and having a year and a relapse and a month and a relapse, you know, I read page 11 every day. And I also read page 449. What really got me in 449 was not about it, not the first line, acceptance. It was the second line that said, nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And for me, higher powers were by mistake. So I know that I may make a mistake, but what I know for sure today that I'm not a mistake, and that whatever happens in my life, I can take it and I can use it as a tool and put it into my program and learn how to effectively and graciously grow and change without moaning and groaning as much, or without taking your inventory, or without trying to feel better by making somebody else feel less. I won't do that today. I work really, really, thank you, diligently on focusing on me, on Michael, and on Michael's plate. And let me tell you, that's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, because if the president would only call me, we would have world peace in about an hour. And there was sometimes I actually would believe that. So today I'm learning to really focus on myself, to be grateful instead of arrogant that I have a program, to be willing instead of stubborn, that if I really want the freedom that's promised, then I have to take a look at these steps and these traditions, and I need to change my life, because my mother had a stroke and lost 100 pounds after the stroke, and my sister had a stroke and lost 100 pounds, and she's gaining her weight back, and it's killing me to see this. Her not taking care of herself, but I'm learning to take care of myself a day at a time. And I want to thank you so much, Stephanie, for asking me to speak. It's really been an honor, and it's been a privilege. And I hope that I said something that you can connect with or connect to. And my number, I have a, where am I? In New York and Eastern Time, and it's a Verizon safe phone. I'm the only one who answers it. And it's 516-732-5422. Again, it's 516-732-5422. And thank you so much for allowing me to share part of my life.
Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was great. All right, and now we're going to go ahead and in a few minutes have Judith go ahead and step up and do concepts 4, 5, and 6 for us. And again, just thank you, and this is our experience, strength, and hope, and how these apply to our life. And let me see here. And we'll just go ahead and let her get started. I know it's, let's see here. Yeah, so why don't we go ahead, and Judith, if you want to go ahead and qualify, and then again, if you feel like it, you're more than welcome to go ahead and leave your number when you're done. Thank you, Judith. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Michael. And I want to also thank God, and I want to thank the spirits of my beloved parents, because there's no way I'd be in this room today if it wasn't for God and the spirits of my beloved parents that I feel brought me to CEA Howe. My name is Judith. Be on the phone list. And I'm in northern New Mexico. I came into CEA Howe in February of 2008 from Overeaters Anonymous. And for the past 3 years or so, I've been at goal weight with an 80 to 85 pound weight release. So I've been abstinent 4 months and several days. At this point, it took me about over 4 years of coming back. I never left. I never left these rooms, no matter what, because the only requirement for CEA Howe membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And I'm so excited about being here. I don't even know if I said I'm a critical level compulsive overeater, but I sure as am a critical level compulsive overeater. Sometimes I'll say that OA taught me how to walk into a room and say good morning. You and CEA Howe taught me everything else. Let's just take a scene from my life last week. I was sitting in a coffee shop I was fixated on this dog water bowl, this dog water dish in this coffee shop. And I had every intention of taking this dish and getting it the several yards into my car. By some miracle, I made an outreach call. And I didn't tell this individual at the time that I was between classes. I teach at a local college. And I was between classes, and I had to say goodbye to my students. It was the end of the term, and they were planning this big potluck, and I said I'd share in the love and not the food. And one guy wanted to throw his birthday party in the class, and I thought, oh, how sweet, fine. You know, I didn't share that. I didn't share that I was uneasy about that I didn't really like my dinner. I was fixated on taking this dog bowl. I didn't tell the person that I called when I was working the tool of making an outreach call. I didn't tell her that I never learned how to say goodbye because my mother got sick when I was 2 years old, had breast cancer, and by the time I was 7, she died. Within a year, I didn't tell this person that then within a year, my father remarried an anorexic bulimic who was mentally ill and in and out of mental institutions. I was fixated on taking this dog dish. This individual did not say a word about the dog dish. She did not shame me. She passed no judgment on me. All I heard was great kindness and gentleness in her voice, like I hear from most of you most of the time, you know, when I call. I didn't have to tell her that I wanted to take the dog dish because I suffered from a love deficit of neglect and abandonment. I didn't have to say that my love button is broken, so I want to take this dish. She asked me how much time I had, and I thought she was asking me how much time I had to live. And then we put it together that it was how much time I had abstinently. And I said, 4 months or so, 4 months. And then we went on and talked about something else and laughed about something else. All the while, I completely forgot about that dog dish. Of course, didn't take it. This was at a coffee shop, you know. And they have a dog dish outside for dogs. So we talked some more. And then I thought to myself, I said jokingly, gee whiz, maybe it'd be a good idea if somebody like me with four and a half years in the program and 4 months of CEA How abstinence is about to steal a dog dish, talks about it. And here I am. So when it comes down to requirements, I told my sponsor I was speaking about the requirements, and meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, willing to listen, and a strong sense of security and experiencing a new unity and wholeness of all those around us. Anyway, when I mentioned the word requirements, she laughed. And this is one of two words in the program that I've tripped over. We talk a lot in our program, in our rooms, about a plan of eating. We talk a lot about meetings, and we discuss the steps, traditions, and tools. So I really want to talk about requirements, because it's what tripped me up for 4.5 years. I grew up in what I call a non-functional home, a non-functional family, and I never had any healthy requirements, and I never had any healthy boundaries. What I had was a lot of inconsistency and shifting sands. Whenever there is shame, guilt, threats, conditions, ultimatums, donations of money, promises, well, thank God I didn't have violence, and but some of us have, coercion, punitive actions, these are not worthwhile requirements. So CEA How taught me what healthy requirements are, taught me what loving parents who are present, who haven't caved in because of death and illness and loss and all the things that do happen to us because they're parts of life. In these rooms, I learned about what healthy requirements in fact are. And I learned that a healthy parent will say, hey, it's dinner time. There's a healthy meal on the table. I never had that growing up. I was always eating fast food, and I was always in restaurants. And when my therapist asked me, did your housekeeper ever cook meals for you? I looked like I was shot by one of those taser guns. I froze. I have no recollection of any meals on the table. Or parents that are healthy and present will say, it's time for a bed. It's turn off your TV set. It's time for a story. Even though I grew up affluent, my father was a doctor, I never was read to. No one ever read to me. So that's why I love to read out loud at meetings. I love to be read to. I read to my students. I read to my partners. It's a comfort for me. And finally, I'm learning how to reparent myself in CEA How. For example, I saw this picture in a newspaper, a Santa Fe newspaper, about a movie that was going to be held, and this adrenaline just started to rush through me, and I thought, wow, Judith, you're going on a date. You're taking yourself out on a date to see this movie. Is this movie what I think it is? And I took a double take at the photograph, and then I read the blurb, the commentary on the movie, and sure enough, it was everything that I thought it was. So I made up my mind I was going on this date with myself to see this movie. And I asked my sponsor the next morning, is this okay to go to this movie? Because I was getting progressively uncomfortable about this movie. And I asked myself, Judith, why are you so comfortable? It's not like you're uncomfortable. You're not going on a date with somebody else. You're just going with you, you know? Well, my sponsor responded with, no, you don't even have to ask. You're not going to the movie. Well, I did have to ask. And needless to say, I did not go to the movie. And I have a broken requirement button that's getting fixed. And God and this program are helping me fix it. I've had to tell myself no along the way. No, you're not getting another German Shepherd puppy. You finally have a sofa in the house. You finally have your rugs down. No, you're not getting a horse. Know that that particular person, this person is not right for you. I'm not settling. I'm not compromising. And I am busy working my program. When we look at, I want to go on to the next paragraph now about listening, willing to listen. And I never had such a listening experience before coming to CEA Howe. Like I said, I had to listen most of those 4.5 years in the program because I, even though the weight came off me and stayed off me, that's not what this program is about. This is a spiritual program. This is my synagogue. And I did service by, like I said, reading a lot and being the spiritual timekeeper. And now that I'm abstinent, I lead meetings. I speak at meetings. I'll be speaking at 8:30 Mountain Time tomorrow night. I'm a speaker-seeker for the 8 a.m. meeting on Mondays. I mean, I do a lot of service because I'm told to, and I do what I'm told to do for the most part. It works for me. I never left these rooms. This part here is beautiful about we pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us. That's the payoff. That's why I keep coming back. That's why I'm here. Please listen to me. If you hear one thing from this, please hear this. I had to reinvent what security meant for me in my life. My father was a Gumby and a wallet. I love him profoundly, and I wouldn't have asked for another dad. You know what the Gumby is? The Gumby is the green plastic toy that you can move any which way. And that's how I was in relationships. And I've learned, we're talking about spiritual security that come in these rooms. Security is not about money. I just told one of my bosses no to more work and thousands of dollars. This program's given me a sense of spiritual love that's unconditional and a sense of spiritual security that means unity and wholeness with everyone under any circumstances in my life. I came in, people would always tell me when I came, you know, when I came into these rooms, you are so angry, you are so intimidating, you're so hostile, you're so this, that, the other thing. I haven't heard that in years. I don't hear it from my students that I'm scary anymore. You know, I don't make them cry. You know, sometimes I cry because I need to make an amends, but I haven't made them cry in a long time. Anyway, and I'm feeling this spiritual security through unity and wholeness with everyone, and I mean everyone around me. My neighbors count on me to feed their dogs and cats when they go out of town. They visit me out of nowhere. They just stop by unannounced. They don't need to be. I talk to people at the gym. I'm one among many. I'm one among the human race, the family of 6.5 billion people. And thank God I have CEA Howe to give me the extra bit of medicine I need to stay well. And by the way, I do not medicate grief. I do not medicate grief. This program is prescription enough for me to be an athlete. I'm training now for the triathlon next Saturday, you know, and to be self-loving and self-caring. Stephanie, am I here? Hello?
You're doing fine. I'll let you have about 6 minutes. So.
Okay, cool. I got scared that my phone, you know, that I was talking to myself, which is okay because I'm with God today, and I need you, and I need you too. I can't do this alone. But I had this moment of wow, did my phone do that thing where it just shuts down? I really need you. I cannot do this alone. And thank God for each and every one of you that's here with me. I need to talk I need to share, too, that circumstances, that this program isn't based on circumstances in my life. There are a lot of people in these rooms. They went through the same thing that I went through, the love button being broken. They went through the loss of loved ones, sick children, you name it, just like the big book says. And they still come back. And, you know, we know that people, I know, people are always going to disappoint me. I need a higher power. And I've learned, you know, at an early age that life is essentially about living with loss. And, you know, I follow one day at a time the requirements of our program. I'm not driven by food. I'm not driven by money. I'm not driven by my broken buttons around requirements and my love deficit. I'm not driven by longing, by an empty aching, by this grief and fear I spoke of. I'm driven by requirements of the CEA How concept. That's what drives me today. That's what keeps me coming back, because I know it works. I want to turn now, if I may, read to you page 75. They're not the promise. They're promises in their own rights. Page 75 of the big book, you'll find it on the middle of the page. And I'm just so grateful and thankful to have you in my life. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. They're talking about a four-step inventory, which I'm in the middle of right now. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the food problem or the alcohol problem or the drug problem or any problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. My name is Judith B. I'm in northern New Mexico, the East Mountains. My phone number is 505-917-9305. 505-917-9305. Thank you, everyone, so much. Now I'm going to enjoy the other speakers. Bye now.
Thank you so much, Judith. Wow, that was good. All right. And now Robin's going to go ahead and read our concepts 7 and 8. And I'll just go briefly over them, but I'm pretty sure she will go over them too in her speech or her talk or her share, whatever you want to call it. And the concepts are 7, which is to be certain. Much of our strength is to be found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. And concept 8 is each group also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun, through absence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. So now I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Robin. And thank you again, Robin, for stepping up and taking on this service today. Go ahead, Robin.
Thank you, Stephanie. So I'm Robin. I'm in northern Missouri. I've been in the program now. I came to see how December 14th of 2010, I have almost 16 months of abstinence. And just feel like this program is absolutely saving my life. Very, very grateful to be part of this fellowship. And Okay, I had to go somewhere where it was quieter. My husband's working. Okay. All right, so I'm going to be speaking on, Stephanie's asked me to speak on the seventh and eighth concept, and I do want to say I am a recovering anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive eater, and I'm in recovery by God's amazing grace, and I also have not purged in 2 years and 3 months, which is a huge miracle. The bulimia, it really had control of me, and God has finally released me from that. And, you know, this program, when I'm weighing and measuring my food, I don't feel, you know, like I've been bad, so I don't feel like, sometimes I feel too full, but I know I'm not, and it's okay, and I don't feel the need to get rid of it. So that is such a miracle, and I just pray for anybody out there that's still struggling with that. I mean, I will always be bulimic, but I am in recovery now by God's grace, and I am so happy to be here. I've really been looking forward to this meeting ever since I heard about it a month or so ago. The concept, I always like reading our concept, and so I was excited. And then Stephanie called me and asked me to be a part of it, and I have to say I've been a little anxious about that. So I've wrote everything down because I find if I don't, then I'm all over the place. So I hope it doesn't sound like I'm just reading a story to you. I do not work a perfect program, and I certainly don't want to come off that I do. So I feel a little hypocritical, but we know that the H in HOW stands for honesty, and that's just really how I'm trying to be. Okay, so the concept seven reads, to be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. I actually looked up the word certain, and it means fixed, settled, proved to be true, indisputable, inevitable, and assuredly. And I thought, wow, that's like a promise. I mean, those words, you know, all mean a promise. And so in other words, if we attend our meetings at least three a week like we are required to, and we work the program as it is written, which means working all the tools, we will be strengthened. We all know that we cannot do this alone. I'm sure that every one of us have tried many, many, many other diets, potions. I even got the hypnosis tapes, you know. A lot of you had the luxury of surgery, you thought. I didn't. The only reason I never had surgery was because I couldn't afford it. Now I see that it was a blessing. I've heard some horror stories of people that have had this surgery. And you know, we wanted an easier, softer way. We wanted to be able to eat, and we wanted to be able to be thin all at the same time, and we know it just doesn't work that way. I remember one time I read this thing that said, God, if you can't make me skinny, could you please make all my friends fat? You know, we want to fit in. We want to at least fit in, if not be better. And that's just part of the pride, and it's just the character defect of our disease, or I should say mine. But we all know that nothing else works, and our program is not soft and easy. It's hard, and it's very time-consuming. But so is being miserable and depressed, and many of us have been released from many ailments other than the weight loss, the joint pain, the high blood pressure, the diabetes, the cholesterol problems, and not to mention all the money that we have wasted on those plans, programs, magazines, books, and food. And when I think about the money that I have wasted, and I am the one that pays the bills in our family. My husband works very hard, and he is not interested in helping with the bills. And, you know, it's probably a really good thing because I have bought all this junk that doesn't work and filled shelves with the books and all of this stuff, and he never knew, but it would be many thousands of dollars, I would say, over the years. We'll be married 25 years at the end of this month, and I have wasted a lot of our hard-earned money. And the food, I could eat, you know, $30, $40, $50 worth of food in just a little bit and flush it down the toilet. You know, I could do that all within 15 or 20 minutes, you know. It's just insane. And just such a hardship on my family. We have a couple of boys, and, you know, that money could have went somewhere else. And so, our program takes time, but not any more than our disease used to take. I used to just think, what do thin people think about? Because it absolutely consumed me. And now it still consumes me. The abstinence, I have to do this, I have to do that to keep my abstinence. But it's a positive thing instead of a negative thing. And the concept says daily adherence. And I didn't have to look that word up. Daily means every single day. We don't get a break from our disease. Our disease never takes a break. We have a disease. We always will. But praise God, we have medicine for it. And our medicine is our abstinent food, weighed and measured, our tools, the steps, our fellowship with other members, and our literature and writing. This is doable. We do have a solution. We have hope. I really like and believe the sentence on page 85 in the book says, "We do not have a cure, but a daily reprieve contingent on our spiritual maintenance." And there's that word again, daily. Daily, we have to surrender to God our powerlessness and ask for His strength to carry us through. And so, you know, it's just concept seven then is just, I mean, all of them are so important, but we just have to really look at each one of them. And I like how we read them all on the meetings every time, you know. Sometimes it's like, oh, my gosh, you know. When I first came to the program, I was like, gee whiz, we should waste a lot of time reading these things that we all know over and over and over at every meeting. But, you know, that's the way it is, and that's what we need. And it's like they're living, you know, and sometimes they really speak out to me more than other days. And so I'm very thankful that we read all of our readings at every meeting. And I wish that I could memorize them better. But anyway, concept eight, it reads, each group also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first three steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. And I would have to say when I first read that, probably it was like, well, I don't really care about all areas of my life. I just want to be thin, you know. I just want to get this physical thing figured out. I just want to be happy in my own body, but oh man, the the happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our life has become so real to me. And I have definitely grown in every area. And I still have one relationship that's kind of hard, and it's a close relationship. But you know what? With this program, I can accept it. I can accept it, and I can move on. And I don't have to wallow in it and be miserable. I'm only responsible for myself. And the first thing I learned when I came to, I was in OA for 8 months before I found CHOW. But one of the very, very first things I learned was, it's none of my business what other people think of me. And, you know, that even includes our immediate family. And, you know, we don't take other people's inventory. And we're just responsible for ourselves. And I'm just so much more at peace with everything. And so I am really thankful for that. I'm glad that I've moved ahead and grown to see this program as help in medicine for not just the physical and the appearance, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you know, everything is better. So this concept starts off with the assumption that we've already taken the first three steps. You know, it says after our recovery has begun through the abstinence and taking up the first three steps. Well, okay, so if you haven't sincerely taken those first three steps, it seems to me that the rest of the program will be at the very least difficult, if not impossible. You know, so we got to remember to get through those first three steps. Working the 12 steps is not a race. There's not a time limit or a schedule. We are, you know, each able to get through them. We are each able. We can do this. This is doable. But it may take some of us a lot more time than others, and that is okay. I'm reminded now of a comment one of my sponsees made just a couple weeks into her program. Okay, and I never met this woman. I didn't know what she looked like at all, but I could visualize clearly the look of utter shock and horror when she said, "Do you mean we have to do one of these damn questions every day for the rest of our lives?" And it was all I could do, you know, just, it was so funny. And I know I felt the very same way coming in. I'm sure all of us did. But, you know, this sponsee and I have had several good laughs over the months about that. And I'm sure she would agree now that the questions are an essential tool to our recovery. She loves to do her questions now. She's always saying, "Oh, this was so good. This really made me think of this, and this really, you know, helped me turn this around." And just like all of us, I'm sure, have had those thoughts. And I am thankful for the questions every day. When I was in OA, I would beg my sponsor for more work. I would be like, you know, I need more. I need to be doing more. Is there something I could read? Is there something I could, you know, what do I need to do? What could I do? And there just wasn't the structure like there is in CHOW, and that has made all the difference in the world to me, having the structure. And because, you know, I used to always say, you know, if somebody would tell me exactly what to eat, if someone would, you know, tell me, I would do it. I would do it to the letter. And that's what I am doing to the very best of my ability. Sometimes I white knuckle it, even as recent as yesterday.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Here I am talking, and just yesterday I was struggling a little bit, but I made it, I went to bed abstinent. I got up this morning and had a beautiful abstinent breakfast, and it was worth the wait, and I'm just, it's okay. So anyway, the point is that we do a Christian every day, so we might as well do them right. Sometimes I've had to work on one question more than a day or two to understand it. And so, okay, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery, that's been another part of 8. That means we diligently work the next 9 steps. Once we get through the 12 steps, we still are not done. As long as our heart is beating, our disease is alive as well. I have heard it said about our steps that the first 3 are about our need to, the first three are about cleaning up. The first 3 are about giving up. The second 3 are about cleaning up. The third 3 are about making up. And the fourth are about growing up. And for me, that pretty much sums it up. And so I believe what we reap, we reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow, and we reap later than we sow. And I also believe that working this program with positive perseverance sows a beautiful harvest of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. And I am so very thankful to be a part of this fellowship. I just love each and every one of you. And all I have is phone bridge meetings. Don't have any face-to-face close to me. And I did come out to the convention and met some of you beautiful, beautiful people. And have pictures of you now in my cell phone, and so I can have pick-to-pick meetings, I think that's a lot of fun. And anyway, my name again is Robin. I'm a recovering anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive eater in recovery, and my phone number, I have a Verizon phone, and it's 660-425-5799. That's 660-425-5799, and I'm in Central Time Zone in Missouri. And with that, I will close. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for inviting me to share in this workshop.
Thank you, Robin, very much for your service. And everybody's doing a wonderful job, and I do appreciate everyone that's here today and that is also being very quiet. I love hearing the different aspects of these concepts. And now we'll go ahead and continue, and we have two parts of the concepts left now, and that's 9 and 10. Carlisa will be sharing with us on those. And 9 is we ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. And 10 is may God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts. To the love which is manifested in this room. Amen. And if you would please qualify, Carlisa, and then if you wish to, go ahead and leave your number when you're done. You have about 20 minutes. I'll give you 5 minutes and a 1 minute. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Carlisa.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service, and thank you for asking me to be a part of this concept workshop. I will qualify first. My name is Carlisa. I have been in program and abstinent since April 4th of 2009. A little over 3 years and a half now. I've been relieved of 180 pounds, which I've maintained, and lately have released another 10. and that is all by grace. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor, and I am so happy to have found you all. And I have to say, I will start with what brought me into fellowship, because it has everything to do with this concept, and specifically the two lines which I will have the privilege of rapping about for a while. During the week of April 4th of 2009, I was hitting a bottom. I'm the kind of compulsive eater who binges and purges. Now, you notice that I put that in the present tense. I have always been and will always be a compulsive eater. And that is a sorry and hard truth, but that's just the way it is. It does not go away. The big book tells us explicitly that we do not have a cure. What we have is a daily reprieve. That daily reprieve others have already spoken about, but I will turn to shortly. So I am the sort of compulsive eater who is in her active compulsion, binging and purging every day, sometimes 4 and 5 times a day. And during this week, which was Easter week, I was binging every hour and purging every hour. And I mean by purging, sticking my fingers down my throat, because the stuff I was stuffing in my body, I could not take. Mine was a progressive disease. I did not start out binging and purging. I started out binging pretty much on sugar, flour, and other things that tasted sweet to me. And the reasons I did it were complex and medicinal at that time, I think, you know, defensive. The reasons become less important as I began to realize that whatever the reason, they had grown to the level of compulsion. That is, I felt compelled. I felt forced to, by my own dis-ease, to pick up food and abuse it in the way I was, and therefore abuse my body. And so it just became about me and food, and every waking hour was about either getting food, being on a diet, binging, exercising to get rid of the fat, binging, what could I have sweet? Every waking hour, those were my thoughts, and that was progressive. I'm a busy person. I have a full life, but I can assure you that my thought life stayed on food most of the time and what it could do for me, and more, how I could get it. And, of course, I had, over the years, accumulated a lot of eating buddies who are still my friends and still doing what they do. And I watch, but I don't do it. And I feel that I am blessed not to feel compelled to do it. And so when I came in April 4th of 2009, it was a miraculous event. Because on April 3rd, I realized I had gone crazy around food. I realized I had gone crazy, and that my consciousness was absolutely splitting, because I was looking at myself do this binging and purging. I would eat a food that was, I knew it was going to make me sick. I knew I couldn't tolerate it in my body, and then I would just be forced to purge. And it's just overwhelming, that just the thought of it now, which is as fresh to me as if I just did that, binge and purge. And I hope it stays forever green, the feeling I had when I used to do that, the feeling of craziness, the absolute feeling of out-of-controlness, the absolute feeling of powerlessness. And I hope it stays with me forever, because it is a great gift, which finally made me say on April 3rd, God, you have to help me. And I have heard others in this room say, they would ask God all the time. I never thought about asking God. God was not going to help me. I didn't think God was going to help me. It never occurred to me to ask God to help me. It never occurred to me. And I had been brought up in the church in a certain tradition. It never occurred to me until that day that I better ask God to help me. And I did. And something whispered to me, go to your computer and type in the word compulsive eaters. Because I knew I was a compulsive eater. Because I read this book 20 years before by this famous author who continues to be famous, who's never, as far as I can see, suffered from compulsive eating a day in her life. But be that as it may, she defined it, and she was right about me. And I took on the I knew that I was a compulsive eater, so I typed that into the computer, and up popped a lot of our sister fellowships. And I read through what they had online, and it was interesting, but none of them spoke to me like when I got to CEA Howe, and I read this very concept, which to me has become an incantation, a prayer. It's a prayer. And that we talked about already the concept about how the whose compulsion has reached a critical level. When I read that for the first time, I said, that's me. That is me. I am at a critical level compulsive eater. That is me. And then I started to get I just started to get jittery, because as I read down, I got to, we ensure a continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. I just said, where are these people? Who are these people? I have to go to these people. I'm going to find these people because they have what I want. To make such a declaration that God is doing for them what they've never been able to do for themselves, I have to find them. And so I did. And on Good Friday, which was April 4th, I came on the phone bridge to the 7 a.m. meeting, and I have never got left. And I will never leave. I am not, there's nowhere for me to go. This is it. And I know that. And that doesn't mean that on a daily basis, I'm not challenged to especially be emotionally abusive and in my emotional dis-ease. That doesn't mean that every day I don't have to remind myself that I am a spiritual being and that I need to spend time in spirit. That doesn't mean that I don't feel like taking food vacations, you know, where I don't want to think about food or I want to be in food. These are all, I am a compulsive eater. That's not going to go away. So, you know, to think, if people are thinking that somehow they're going to be forever relieved and the disease is going to be cured, that's just a setup. We have this disease, and that's it. It goes into reprieve. We don't have to be constantly in it. We can be in a position of neutrality, we are assured. But the big book says unabashedly over and over again the following from page 85. Let me read the paragraph before it, part of it at least. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And then it goes on to say, and this is money for me. This is in the bank. This is what I come back to again and again and again. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol, compulsive eating, is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism or compulsive eating. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Now, I notice that the verb that is used is not We can, we should, but we must. Must is imperative. That means you have to do it. So, you know, what I know for sure is that if I let up on the spiritual, my spiritual program, and the preciousness of our fellowship is that everybody gets to pick her or his own. You know, we don't have any one denomination here. You know, we might be more weighted in one area or one tradition than another, but the truth of the matter is every denomination and non-denomination and no denomination is welcome. We just want everybody to have a power that's greater than food, greater than our 100 little fears, and greater than ourselves. The Big Book says that too at page 44 and 45. You know, your higher power really has to be a higher power. It can't be you. So, and it's with wisdom it says that, because, you know, we will make anything a god. Well, let me speak for myself. I'll make anything a god with a little g. I made food for so many years. I made anger for so many years. So this is for real. I know about this too. And all of that, I'm not cured of that either. You know, I can still slip into that. But today, because of this fellowship, I have seven wonderful tools that I drive the best that I can every day. And like any driving, like any walk, it's not a perfect walk every day. But who's going for perfection? We're going for progress. We are going for progress here, okay? So, and I have these things called the 12 steps, which have saved my life, which have taught me and shown me a design for living, which gives me a pattern for living every day. I have them. I have the 12 traditions. I have our literature. And most important for me is I have you all who are gods with skin on. I love you, and I need you, and I have good friends. I do have the every promise has come true for me in this fellowship. And starting with the one that's encanted in the concept line I just read, God is doing for us, I am forever aware of it, what I have never been able to do for myself. So I want to move on now to the second part of this, because I'm getting something new about this, and it's kind of coming into my consciousness today. And that is, may God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest in this room. Amen. Now, what I'm getting is that for so long, and I guess in the last 3 years and 6 months, I'm really finally at a place where I can admit I love my relationship with my higher power, and it is always the hardest thing to stay plugged up and then become a conduit or a channel for light, God's light. It is hard for me. I am still very preoccupied with me. I still have to push myself to be in connection with other people. It is easier today than it used to be, and a part of it goes to what this concept line talks about, opening my heart and my mind. My mind will open before my heart. So it's really about opening my heart to all the love, all the unconditional positive regard that are in these rooms for me, that is made manifest every day by meeting after meeting, phone calls. It is hard to keep my heart open to the love here because it doesn't mesh with the story, yes, the story of my life. Like, that's not the story I tell myself, that I'm relearning a story for real, for sure. And this fellowship and these traditions and steps are really helping me relearn a story. I get to write a new story. You know, I have life. I have longevity. I have health now in a way I've never. But it's a hard rewriting. You know, and some things I see I don't want to give up too easily, and that is my guarded heart. But little by little each day, as I deepen and increase my reliance on my higher power, who I call friend, and I know that I do have a friend, and that friend walks with me and surrounds me with light and love and enfolds me and protects me and watches over me.
Five minutes.
Thank you, my beloved Stephanie. as I fold into that love, as I let myself relax and rest in that love and that assuredness, then I know that I can open my heart more and more to people. And my experience of feeling, as the 12 and 12 so aptly puts it, like most people, I don't have positive regard for most people. You know, it talks about me so frankly in that book as well. You know, we liked very few. We loved even fewer, so on and so forth, that section of the 12 and 12. So, you know, my position in life was defensive. You know, I didn't want to be gotten. I didn't want to be hurt anymore. Blah, blah, blah. Until, you know, in recovery, I've learned that the person who's hurt me the most is myself, and that the misery I have experienced, at least for the last 40 years when I've been a fully grown woman out on my own and had wonderful prosperity and abundance, that any misery I've brought in my life, I brought it in. Nobody was beating me up. Nobody was doing things to me. That wasn't happening. Not as an adult. Any beating up, I was doing of myself. Oh, and I love to reiterate my past over and over again. But today I don't need to do that. So that's where the new story gets written, and that's where I need an open heart. And I gotta say, I love you all. I gotta say that if it weren't for certain people in these rooms, I don't know how my life would look today. If I didn't have people, I've had a challenge this weekend, and I've been able to call 5 different people and talk with them about it. People I respect, people whose recovery I respect, and just say, well, this is what's up. And they just listen, you know, because they know their job isn't to solve anything. And they say, well, what does HP think? Have you prayed about it? Have you meditated? When you really go into your own inner sanctum, Carlisa, that temple, the highest of highs, how do you really feel? And I can come out with any challenge to say, look, I feel protected. I feel good. All the stuff that's going around me is just noise. And just to have someone to say that to is so empowering for me. So I'm learning that as this fellowship, as this program keeps on giving. And it is as long as I am willing, and I will be willing, I hope and pray forever, I know that I'll go deeper in recovery. It must be near time, so I'll wrap up. And I would just thank you again, Stephanie, for thinking of me. And it was my privilege to be speaking with others who are walking this walk with me. My name is Carlisa. I live in Washington, D.C. My phone number is 202-420-9007. 202-420-9007. That's Verizon Safe Cell, Eastern Time. Deuces, peace out.
Thank you, Carlisa. Okay, great. Oh, gosh, marvelous talks. Thank you again, Michael, and Judith, and Robin, and Carlisa. Thank you so much again. And now we're going to have an opportunity to go ahead and share. And everybody is welcome to share. If you have any questions for any of the speakers, go ahead and share with us. We will have 3-minute time shares with 1-minute warning to wrap up. So, I'm going to keep to our traditions and our tools and everything in our program and say that you'll have a chance to share provided you have 7 days of back-to-back CEA How absence. You can choose to repeat your name and your number if you want to at the end of your share. And we will, I will be the timekeeper, so please acknowledge me. Again, my name is Stephanie. And please remember to remain positive. by offering experience, strength, and hope. And please give no advice or no crosstalk, which means directly commenting on another person's share. Your intention may be to share support, but commenting on another share can be misinterpreted. And again, if you have a question, please feel free to ask it. Otherwise, we'll stick to our shares for three-minute timed shares. All right, who would like to start us off with a share this morning, this afternoon?
Hi, this is Judy. I'd like to share.
Please, go ahead, Judy. Thank you.
Well, this has probably been the most inspired workshop I've been to in a really long time, and I just want to thank each and every one of you. I had chills most of the time because I felt like God was speaking to me directly, and that's what I have to say, and thank you all so much, and I love you all. My number is 575-539-2114. My name is Judy S.
Thank you, Judy. Anybody else?
This is Woody. I'd like to share.
Go ahead, Woody, please.
Hi. Thank you, everybody, for the sharing you've done on this panel, because I know a lot of time and thought and correspondence with your higher power went into your preparation, and it shows. A couple points that were brought up to me from the sharing, just because they happened to me recently, within the last week even, and one of them is regarding that concept of that we recognize that further surrender to the rest of the steps will bring us recovery in all of our life. And, excuse me, somebody asked me this week to sponsor him, and as we got to talking, I said, you know, I noticed when you share at meetings that you've been abstinent for 3+ years, going on 4, and you are a food and inventory sponsor. Is there a reason you haven't gone on beyond the inventory? And he said, yeah, it's because I've done it in my other program. And I said, well, at this point I don't have an opening for a sponsee, but if I had, I would be saying to you that you need to be willing to do the further surrender to complete the steps. Doing them in another program is not the same as doing them in our program, because our ism is different, our questions are different. And I said, so the fourth step, what fourth step did you do? And he said, oh, I did it in my other program. And I said, no, that's not the way it works. You need to be doing it in our program. In fact, you can't even sponsor in this program without having your sponsees go through the See How fourth step. So I was just a little bit taken aback with that person's thought that doing the step work in another program was sufficient. I don't think it is, because what makes our program so effective is the commonality of our experience. We have the same disease. A person with the same disease as I have, who's in recovery, is able to speak to me. I'm able to listen to that person in a way that, for example, I cannot take in information from my doctor who doesn't have my disease. Because I know the person who has my disease understands right down to their cells what I'm living through, because they're living in my skin. So it's very important, I believe, that we do our own programs, step work. The other thing I'd like to comment on is about that line about adherence to our program is written in our literature. I recently, this week, actually had to talk to a sponsee about something her sponsee shared in a meeting gave me an indication that her sponsor, meaning my sponsee, was not doing things with her the way it's written in our program. So what happens is our program gets diluted. It gets out there with thousands of different interpretations of what our program is about. If the sponsor is not sponsoring according to our program as it is written in our literature. And I think the only way that we
Time.
Program are going to continue into the future is we're going to have consistency of our message. And the way we get that is adhering to our literature as it is written. Thank you.
This is Danae. I'd like to share.
Yes, please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your service. And I want to thank all of the speakers. Have just been wonderful, wonderful afternoon of experience, strength, and hope. My name is Danae. I'm a compulsive eater and a grateful member of CHAL. And I just want to share about the CHAL concept. When I first walked into the rooms of CHAL, the very first meeting I went to, I was handed the CHAL concept to read. And I remember reading it and it just soaking into every fiber of my being. And a couple of the things that really stood out to me was that a disciplined and structured approach, obviously, but certain phrases such as sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level really stood out to me because I knew I had reached a critical level. I had become diabetic, working another 12-step program for eating disorders, and that has nothing to do with the 12-step program. It just has to do with the fact that I needed a structured and disciplined approach, and the other programs that I had been in just didn't have that. The other thing that's really important that stood out to me is that where it says, rather, we accept them as requirements for our recovery. And I've heard, you know, in my face-to-face meetings, a lot of people talk about this is required, this is required, this is required. But what the reading really says is that we accept this as a requirement. And so, you know, and if that's not okay with a person, that's okay. There's a lot of different other programs out there, a lot of great programs that are working for a lot of great people. This is not the only way. But I accept this as a requirement for my recovery. I love the idea that we progress in a program of recovery on a daily basis, that I do this every day, that there is no graduation from this program, and there are no breaks from this program for me. I just need to surrender to the idea that this is what I do now. This is how I live my life now. And because I've done this, I have such an amazing freedom. The how, thank you so much for that. I'll wrap it up. The how part of this concept is the honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. And that's very, very important to me, to be open-minded to all other ideas. I do work this program as written. But that this the seven tools are a base requirement. They're just a base. And so I do work at a higher level than what is just required through those seven tools. The other thing I just wanted to share real quickly and touch on is that the surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. I've been in 12-step meetings for a really, really long time. I believe in the 12 steps. I work them annually, and 1 through 12 all the way through, and I really, really believe that this statement in every core of my being, that surrender to the additional steps. And that means that I don't just go and do 30 days of questions in the food plan and maybe get into the inventory. It's a full surrender. And I love in our Forever Abstinence book where it talks about the first of many surrenders. And I just get to surrender over and over and over. So I'll go ahead and wrap it up. I am very grateful for this workshop and for all of you being a service. And again, for everyone who has shared and the speakers. And my phone number is 805-824-7879. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Danae. Who else would like to share?
Hi, this is Joyanne, compulsive eater. I'd like to share.
Go ahead, Joyanne, please. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody that spoke today. It was absolutely awesome. Thank you, Stephanie, for doing the meeting. It's wonderful workshop today, and I learned so much, and I belong to another 12-step program I have for years, and you can't transfer, you know, from one 12-step program, what you've done in that program, to this program, or any other program. You got to do the whole program 100%. And I was so grateful that I was able to finally address my eating in the right way, spiritually and emotionally. I had no idea how deep it went until I started doing the CEA questions and then getting into the inventorying and talking with my sponsor and listening to the meetings. I really didn't comprehend that, how far back in my life, and being an anorexic and a bulimic along with it, I was hiding a lot of pain. I dealt with a lot of that pain in CEA Health. The other 12-step program, I thought I dealt with it, but I did maybe part of it, but not all of it like I have now, and because of the food. And I'm so grateful I have not had to purge or binge or do any of that crazy stuff that I've done in the past to try to destroy myself because I didn't like the way I felt, and I was so alone and so felt so abandoned. I had deep abandonment issues, and those are becoming, they're getting healed. I'm just amazed how great this program is. So anyway, that's all I want to share, and I just thank everybody for being so wonderful today. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joyanne. I am having an issue with my phone. It's going to be shutting off soon, so if somebody could pick up, I would appreciate it. I'll try and get right back on. And whoever wants to go ahead and share, please go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ginger. May I share?
Yes, please go ahead, Ginger. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie. And thank you, Stephanie, for putting this workshop together, and thank you for all you wonderful presenters for taking the time out of your busy day to share your experience, strength, and hope that this wonderful program has given all of us. And I am forever grateful that I have this program that helps me live life, because I had, when I was in the food, I did a real good job of messing up my life and being real confused as to where my focus in life needed to be, and how I treated people wasn't always the best either, or how I treated myself. But I've got to say, surrendering in this program, I was able to do that, and it has changed my life. And every day I have an opportunity to live life to the fullest, and I don't have to regret the past, nor do I have to be fearful of the future. I can enjoy today, and that is such a gift. That is such a present, to be present in the moment. And everything that people shared today, I mean, that's the basis for serenity in my life today. And I'm just very grateful. So with that, I would just like to pass and say again, thank you, everyone, for being out there. It was such a treat to have this whole time to just sit and have program. So it was a great influx of program. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger, very much. Would somebody else like to share? Okay. Well, what I'm going to go ahead and do, I hope everybody can still hear me because my phone's ready to shut off, is that I'm going to go ahead and just close us out. And if anybody would like to stay on and discuss more, you're more than welcome to. And I wish to thank every member who has shared today and has spoken. Again, thank you to Michael, Judith, Robin, and Carlisa for your shares, and everyone who did share afterwards. Please remember our cherished 12th edition, which states, Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And the requirements of CEA HOW are what this particular group has found to be effective in working this program and do not represent any organization or meeting except this one. The opinions expressed here today by those that shared are their own and not necessarily those of CEA HOW as a whole. Again, thank you for allowing me to run this concept workshop. My name is Stephanie. And let's go ahead and close out with the Serenity Prayer, folks. The Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity,
to accept the things I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again, everyone. And Maria, you're more than welcome to stop the recording unless people want to continue to share.
Okay, great. Thanks, Stephanie. I'll go ahead and close out then my recording as of now. If that's okay?
That is great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye, everyone.